Can't take you anywhere.
My house is on fire.
Again?
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, I can't get up.
Help. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah, welcome to the live stream, everyone.
Yeah. That actually, funny enough, reminds me of a story that I heard once many years ago. I was taking a course for to be an insurance adjuster. I was working for an insurance company, and you know, the next step in the career thing was to get your adjuster's license and then go be an adjuster. And so, I was taking this class, and you know, you learn about all kinds of different insurance policies and all kinds of different clauses within those insurance policies. And this particular one, there's a story about some guy who like had some really expensive Cuban cigars kind of thing, like $10,000 cigars, and he insured them for fire damage, you know, or not just fire damage, but I guess, you know, whatever. And then he filed a claim for them. Mm-hmm. And the claim that he filed was that they had each gone up in a series of small individual fires.
Oh, really? Cigar-sized fires, eh?
Right.
Okay.
And apparently, as the story goes, the insurance company actually did pay out and then charged him with like 16 counts of arson.
So they warranted his claim, but then they're like, all right, so we'll warrant your claim, but also you broke the law.
Yeah. I personally think it's, you know, just a joke, but you know.
Yeah.
Yes, Sarah.
It's still fine.
Oh shit, I guess for future reference we should be using people's screen names. Being that this is like on the internet now.
You were just saying hi to your pet ferret, Sarah, that's yes. on your desk right next to you.
Right. Exactly. Well, yes, completely skipping the intro, if we are going to have an intro. For those who find this later, we are, this is a, what was the phrase that I wanted to use? A companion piece to our
long form. Companion piece, yes.
Yeah, to our long form podcast, which is also titled Horror Makes Us Happy, but these will be our live chats. And in the long form podcasts, what we do is we invite horror creators in the horror business to come on and talk to us. And we interview them instead of asking them about what they, their body of work, we ask them what they themselves have been a fan of and use that to build sort of a psychological, slight amateur psychological profile. And then at the end of the conversation, if any common themes keep cropping up at the call, we talk about those and how those intersect with the horror genre as a whole. Yeah. But for this, we are not following that format because the great thing about that format is that you get to hear all kinds of cool stuff that maybe people don't share elsewhere in other interview formats. The downside is that once you've had that kind of an interview, there's really no reason to go back and ask the same questions twice. So hopefully we can get this going and get familiar with this format and feel comfortable with it and then start inviting those people back to join us for a more, I don't say relaxed because we have a lot of fun on those calls too, but more
current free events. Form. Yeah. Current events.
Yeah. And they get to tell us what they've been up to since the last time we spoke and,
what films they've been in, what films they've directed, what books they've written, if it's one of the authors.
I'm personally curious to get to ask, you know, if any of the things that we talked about in our long form interview end up coming up.
Like affected how they,
I think I told you about this, Laura Lee Barr, her most recent book, which is called Who's the Liar, I think.
Where is the lie?
Something like that. No, I think it's called Who's the Liar. I bought an ebook copy of it and I read it, and it is chock full of stuff that came up in our interview. So it's pretty funny. Nice. Yeah, she emailed me and she was like, this has been on my mind since we've had that interview.
So, awesome.
Yeah, it'll be fun to get her on here and chat about that. Oh, that's you. Yeah, I've got I was saying, oh, that's you saying hello, Wolf.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I am Carrion Flower Productions, by the way.
Yes.
I should change my name.
Eh. I have looked at the videos on YouTube and they cannot see the chat. I don't remember exactly how or why, but there are certain ways that you can set this up where the chat stays viewable and sometimes it's not. I think it has something to do with a Premiere. I have to do more research on that.
Really?
Yeah.
I always thought I just defaulted to chat if it was a live video. Like, yeah, there's comments. Instead of comments, there's chats.
No. Sometimes it'll say live chat's been disabled or something like that.
Because you have to pay for premium.
I don't think it's that. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me as well, but it's probably one of those things where it's like, we'll only show you the chats if this is a premiere is what they're talking about doing. And then maybe it's Premiere that you have to pay to have access to. So they might be hiding it like that, but I don't know. I need to do more research on that. But I do have the second monitor set up this week.
Oh, cool.
So that is helpful. That's why I'm able to look over here. Say hello to people. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Being that we do not have a guest again this week, I guess we could jump into self-promo. I was debating on, you know, what should we try to, because we talked about like rotating this every week and then trying to remember what the hell we promoted last week. I guess maybe we could promote the Discord server this week.
Could promote the Discord server, yeah.
The what?
So could promote the Discord server, yeah. I say, why not just do all three of them every week? You know, just as a reminder. You know, we can change up how we say it. Your book, my comic, and the Discord server. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. You were saying?
As I was saying, just as a slight nod before we get into the meat of the show today, yeah, Steve and I both have our own individual projects. Steve has a book he has published called A Guide to the Recovery Toolbox.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah! First try.
Didn't even have to ask.
Did not. Because I've asked so many times.
Yeah.
Anyway, good book with lots of recovery practices that he's learned through many years of experience. That guy does the solid the psychology stuff. Psychology. I can words today.
Yes. And then pieces.
And then as far as my endeavors, I have my webcomic Pieces, which is Pieces itself is kind of a slasher story about a family of cannibal leper ghouls that worship a god and replace their worship a demon god and replace their lost limbs through necromancy.
Hmm.
Yeah. But right now, the webcomic is individual stories about the origin stories of each of this family in the main story. You're kind of like a found family Texas Chainsaw style, but the webcomic is like an individual story of each of their backstories. Mm-hmm. And you can find out all that at piecesofflesh.com. Mm-hmm. I have three comics currently. Meat is volume one. Volume two will be a three chapter story, which is the story of Sid, Lexa, and Snare. And I'm currently on Lexa. You can check that out. Once again, at piecesofflesh.com. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Discord.
Yep. If you go to horrormakesushappy.com, there's a link to the Discord server right there on the front page.
I was linked to everything.
Well, that too. We've also got the Linktree link there that links to everything else. The Discord server, we've got 40, 50 channels for different subgenres and talking about all kinds of different stuff related to horror in general. But then we also have some chats about our podcast. And Chris, we do a couple events weekly. Chris hosts a sort of a wild card thing on Friday where he basically it's shoot from the hip and stream whatever it is he feels like streaming on Friday. Yeah. And then Sunday at 9 o'clock, streams himself working on
drawing the web
comic. Yeah. Sorry. Yep.
Yeah, it's weird. The words were good with him today.
Yeah. What was the other thing I wanted to say? Oh, we're somewhere around 777 users. We've been floating around that number for a couple of weeks now. It's kind of funny. Like normally there's like a steady growth, but this we've been stuck around 775 for feels like about a month now. People will come and then they'll leave and then somebody else comes.
Yeah, it's like a cycle. I remember when it was almost 666 members. I'm like, oh, it's gonna hit, and then it finally hit, and then it just kind of dipped back below. Yeah. And then it just kind of oscillates, so yeah, it's hard to celebrate milestones in Discord.
The main one I want to celebrate is once we hit 1,000, then we can make the server discoverable through Discord. Right now, there are third-party websites that you can advertise your server on. But once you make it discoverable within Discord, then I don't know. I'm guessing it makes it more easier to find, easier for people to join. I don't know. We'll find out.
Does that mean, so discoverable in Discord, does that mean like you don't necessarily have to search for the name? It's like recommended and just like a scrolling list?
No, so there's a search feature within Discord. You can search for servers within Discord.
Yeah.
But it will only show you servers that have at least 1,000 users.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's a nice and high milestone to set for new servers.
Yeah.
Just think it'd be something simpler, like 500 or something.
I don't know. But we're almost there. We're 3/4 of the way there. So.
Almost there. Yeah.
And I don't know how long we've been. It's been maybe like 2 years that we've had this. Maybe three.
It feels like three.
Maybe three. Yeah. Anywho. If you're looking for a place to come out and hang out and chat about horror themed stuff. Or want to watch Chris draw his webcomic, could do that too.
Which is also horror themed stuff. Yes. Yeah, you know, come and hang out and chat with the people in the Discords. We have, like you said, we have movie streams that we do sometimes. We have all kinds of channels of different genres. And we ask the important questions like, do vampires poop? The answer is no.
I guess it depends on who you ask.
Yeah, it depends on which lore you go by, you know. Are we going by like Bram Stoker lore, or are we going by like White Wolf lore, or are we going by like True Blood, like more New Age?
The thing that I found that I posted in the server suggested that they don't poop, so that anything that they eat fit, anything they can digest liquids, but anything solid they have to throw back up, which is why they don't eat very often, because who wants to throw up? So,
anywho, yeah.
Depends. Only the strong will shine.
Yeah. You have to be strong to be shiny.
I'm sure there's Twilight jokes in there, but
that was the Twilight. That's where I was going with it. Yeah. But regarding the Discord server, once again, this Friday is it's the day after the 12th. So yeah, right now we're currently going through Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities, but I think I'm going to detour because it is Wild Card Friday Night. Wild Card is what the watch party is called, and I think on the 13th of February, which is a Friday, I might watch something else instead.
Hint, hint.
It's going to be the reboot. We watched the original last time, and. I want to see Trent scream like a little bitch again, because that's so fucking hilarious. He is the worst.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, good.
But if I manage to stay awake, I will join you for that, and then I will know.
There you go. Yeah.
Speaking of things...
No, I was going to say, I think it was Marcus Nispel, same guy as the Texas Chainsaw reboot.
Speaking of things that you have been watching,
yes, been
watching this week.
have I been watching this week? More trailers. Bunch of stuff on Shudder. Other things. I was actually watched the new Anaconda today. Just kind of threw it on in the background.
Okay.
And then I ended up like watching it, and yes, Will Friday the 13th, he got it. It's pretty good. The one with Jack Black and Paul Rudd and Steve Zahn and who else? Who is the, oh, Tandy Newton. Yeah.
I don't even know that name.
She's in James Bond movies. She was the queen of the necromongers in Chronicles of Riddick.
Hmm. I think I saw that. That was a while ago. Movie.
Yeah. She did a bunch of other stuff, too. Anyway, yeah. It was actually a lot better than I expected. The visual effects for the Anaconda were done very well.
Cool, cool. Anything else?
What else?
I need to get around to watching this Looney Tunes thing that they sent me the review copy.
Oh yeah, that is Looney Tunes. What is it, like Looney Tunes?
Porky Pig and me. Porky Pig and Daffy Duck team up in a new animated adventure.
Is there blood?
Probably not, being that it's it is actual. I think it's Warner Brothers that does.
Yeah. Okay. So it is like, I didn't think their IP went public like all the other things that are being made into things like the Pooniverse right now. But
no.
So it is. It is a Looney Tunes movie.
It is official. The image that I'm looking at, it has like an alien with glowing eyes, like a, what are they called? A gray.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Nothing. I'll say it in a second when you're done with your thing.
No, I just. Yeah. I thought this is something that would be fun to watch on the Friday Wildcard. I forget why. There was some reason that I thought like topical for that particular week. And then I think you said that you had already seen it or something.
Robert Englund do one of the voices? Or maybe
I have no idea. I am looking at this press release, but I'm not actually reading it. I'm just kind of like glossing over it.
Mm. Yeah, we can do that on. Maybe next Friday. Because this one is the 13th.
Right.
And yes, thank you for reminding me, Final Girl Ray. I did also watch The Craft this week. I have never actually seen it.
Really?
It's not that bad. Not that bad. You know, it was a pretty good movie. They had some legit magic, and the actual rituals seemed legit, and characters weren't terrible. It's very nostalgic. Had a very 90s vibe to it. Reminded me of...
Excuse me.
Had a lot of, like, The Crow vibes.
Mm. Yeah. I have also never seen it, but that is one that I would not mind watching. For other reasons. Always thought Neff was
Did very they rhyme with
cute.
Was that?
I said I always thought Neff was very cute.
Yeah. I said, does it rhyme with Bev Tamble? Yeah, I didn't even remember she was in when it first started rolling. I'm like, is that Neve fucking Campbell?
Isn't Faruka Balk in there too? Is it Balk?
Neve Campbell, Faruka Balk, and Rachel True. And there was somebody else from Scream, too. It's, Skeet Ulrich is the douchebag jock boyfriend in it. So, yeah. Like, it was weird seeing those two together because that's before Scream.
Mm. Yeah. What do we got in the chat? What's the graph?
There of course. Is.
So 90s, yes.
Mm hmm. In Scream News, I saw an interesting article today.
heard something about that, the lawsuit or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lawsuit, and the original name for the mask, which I did not know, was Peanut-Eyed Ghost, and I can't unsee that now. They're actually, they're more like cashews, really.
Yes.
Just...
Yeah.
He's got nut eyes now.
Oh, God.
I can't unsee it. But anyway, there's a dispute about the mask once again. It was originally, so I know I we went over this with one of our guests. Oh shit, who was it?
I don't remember either, but I know it came up.
Yeah, I remember he was reading the Scream screenplay, and it was like a tangent that we went off on because we were talking about how music is very key in horror, and you can have a shit script, but if it has good music, then it's a hit. And he was like, yeah, you're right, because he was reading the original script for the OG Scream. And, you know, without the tone and the tension of the music, you read this shit and you're like, oh, dear fucking God, what the fuck? Really?
Oh, that, I think, was Howard Berger. I thought you were going to bring up...
I wasn't going to name drop him because he was talking shit about Scream, man.
He wasn't... Well, hang on. No. So... For clarification, he did talk shit about it, but he also said that before it was released, even Wes Craven himself wasn't really sure it was going to land right. And that was the conversation that he had with Wes, was that he was reading through the script and he was kind of ticked off because he thought that, you know, it was referencing a lot of work that he himself had worked on, and he didn't know if it was going to come off the way it, obviously it did, and it came out good, but there were concerns at the start. But what I thought you were going with was, there was somebody else that we had talked to about who had said something about the mask and how they really struggled finding the right mask and or coming up with one or designing one, and then they find one at the store, I think.
Yeah. And it was at a Halloween store that they found when they were doing location scouting. And I want to say that was also Howard Berger, wasn't it?
It might have been, but don't quote me on that. So there was that. And then I guess they were going to riff off the mask or try to make copies of it or something like that. And then apparently nobody thought to actually contact the company that was making them. And finally they just contacted the company that was making them. And they're like, sure, here.
Right.
Have a lunch.
And currently the... production company for Scream, what is it? Well, I think it's Paramount, but they do have an agreement with Funworld, who was the place who the mask was originally found at. Apparently now someone is coming out of the woodworks
claiming there was something not right about the agreement.
Yeah, or claiming that they actually had the original design of the mask, so they're, of course, trying to make this lawsuit just before the launch of the next film, probably trying to either rush their hand and just settling or holding up the movie, which would also hurt them. Yeah, just...
I mean, I won't be cynical on that just because you never know. Maybe they do have some sort of rights issue that needs to be solved, and
it is entirely possible.
That is for the courts to decide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting stuff there. Yeah. Peanut eyes.
God.
It's better than raisin eyes.
I suppose. But now it's got me, you know, looking at our background going,
Oh, no, our skull is fine. Our skull is good. That's a perfect skull. It's a Grim Reaper. He's got his scythe and he's all cool.
Yes, but it made me...
Oh!
Well, it just made me wonder, okay, is there something weird about our logo that is escaping our notice until someone else points it out?
His nose looks like a heart.
A heart?
Yeah, it's an upside-down heart. Well, all skull noses look like upside-down.
I was just going to say, yes, that is kind of what they look like.
That's kind of the joke I was going for. Like, there's a problem with it, but it's the obvious that's...
Yes.
The obvious.
Something that I dropped in the news channel of our Discord server that I thought you might want to talk about, this Takashi Miike film.
Yes, I did also stumble upon that when looking up stuff this week. I'm going to murder the pronunciation of this because I'm sure it's something else, but Charlie XCX.
Yeah, I think that's what it goes by. Or she goes by.
Okay.
Yeah, you pronounce the XCX.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was...
I thought you were going to try to translate it into Roman numerals, to be honest.
Ooh. 10 to, oh shit, what is C? 100, I think?
I think it's 100.
That'd be like 1000.
Well, that, 10? Well, that's so, exactly. It'd be minus 10 and then plus 10, so it'd just be 100.
Oh. Why minus 10?
Because it's X, C, X.
Okay. Anyway, she's going to be in this Takeshi Miike film coming out, along with Supergirl and Daryl Dixon, a.k.a. Molly Alcock and Norman Reedus. That should be interesting.
I'm glad you know those names, because, I mean, I know who Norman Reedus is, but had you not said those things, I would have had no idea who you're talking about. Mm.
It's also, shit. Hmm. It's been so long since I've seen House of Dragon. I forgot her character's name. She was the queen. She's Rhaenyra. Rhaenyra or Rhaenys? Fuck. I swear to God, the Targaryen names are just like, they're all so close. It's just, he does it on purpose.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's drawn from real life. That's how real life is.
Is it? All the royal names are all very similar and confoundingly confusing.
Or variations on a theme.
Hezekiah beget Hezekiah, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not only that, but like keeping the first initial the same. I have relatives who the mother, father, and two kids all have names that start with the same letter. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that in other families as well.
It's a family name. Wolf confirmed. Rhaenyra. Yeah. Yeah, it's apparently about a spirit that possesses a woman and causes her to murder a bunch of people.
Okay. Wait, are you talking about the Game of Thrones thing or the Charlie XCX? Exactly.
Yes.
That's all the guy I have to ask.
Yes. Oh, y'all know Norman Reedus from Walking Dead, but I remember him from this little joint called Pandorum, which was a space horror. He got eaten by cannibal mutants.
That's why you know it. Cannibals.
Yeah. Also, you know, it's cool. Like, weird sci-fi horror.
Speaking of cannibal stuff, did you get to watch that video I sent you? I'll take that as a no.
Wait, see, you sent me so many videos. Which one?
About a cannibal.
Was it on Discord?
Yes.
I believe I did watch it. If this was over 24 hours ago, then I gotta dig back in the archives.
Yeah, around 24 hours ago. I sent it to you private because I didn't know if I should put it in the server because it's more true crime than horror. But it's an interview with some lady who... She's a crime scene detective specializing in blood splatter.
And she found cooked human brains on a crime scene?
Uh-huh.
I have not watched this one yet. I didn't even see this.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for reminding me. I'm going to watch that.
Welcome. I thought you might be interested in it for the blood splatter thing, just for the webcomic. Mm-hmm. But then also the cannibalism half.
Does she put images of her blood splatters up on the screen that's on the video? Damn it.
No.
I mean, not that I would steal those.
No.
And put them in my art. If I want to go that route, I could just
fucking... You mean use them for inspiration?
Use them for inspiration, yes. That's what my lawyer said to say.
What's the other term?
Fair use?
No, there's... When you keep something as a...
captive.
No, reference. Kidnap. Reference. That's the word I was looking for.
Reference.
Yes.
Not captive.
No. It's a good thing you don't have a basement.
Damn it, Florida. Stupid fucking sandbar. I would love a basement.
I'm sure you would.
I keep things down there.
Yes.
You know, actually, real talk, if I had a basement, I would like rent it out for shows. It's so quiet. You can't like bother any neighbors because you're underground.
That's not exactly true. Depending on the sound level, but also more the parking.
The parking did suck. I'm like basically saying this from experience. There was a punk rock house that was one of those houses that like had, you know, several generations of multiple people living in it. Mm-hmm. And there was always a party in the basement. They would like do shows in the basement. It was not the largest venue, but it was underground, so it actually was fairly quiet.
Yeah.
You're right, though. It was in a residential neighborhood, and the parking was shit because you're parking on the road, on a residential street. Yes. So that's like 20 cars tops.
Right.
If there aren't any other residents currently parking on the road.
Yes. So neighbors wouldn't be too happy about that.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one. Anything else you've seen in the news?
There's some other stuff happening. Eli Roth is going to do a reboot of Stiletto. It's a stripper slasher. I've not seen this or heard of it.
Hmm.
The article doesn't say anything about the original Stiletto.
I vaguely recall something about that when I was doing research for the horror trivia, but it has been a while. I want to say it was like a giallo.
Huh. Really?
Could be wrong on that. Don't quote me on it, but...
It sounds like a giallo title.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, now that I got a second monitor.
Yes.
Wiki. Stiletto.
It is 1L, 2Ts.
B.
Yeah, there's a new one coming out.
1969. Oh! The original film was the mark to the debut of Raul Julia.
No shit.
Does not say giallo, but...
Also, I looked at this earlier, and it doesn't look like a horror movie. Like, I don't know, maybe Roth is, like, just rebooting not horror movies at this point.
Yeah, it says crime film.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a real Charles Bronson vibe to it.
Hmm.
Words!
He actually shows up in one of the trivia questions
that we
have for our trivia game.
Yeah.
I don't remember what movie he was in, but...
Was it a horror movie?
It was a horror movie. But he was not credited as Charles Bronson. He was... Apparently he has a Russian last name. And this was right around the time of the Red Scare here in the U.S. And so he had to change his name, or he decided to change his name from his Russian last name to Bronson because he was afraid that... is going to hurt his career. He wouldn't be able to, you know, get work.
It's Brusnowski, isn't it?
Something like that. Actually, let me see if I can pull it up here. Oh, that's nice. That's going to be on my screen, probably.
Yeah.
He played Jared's deaf-mute assistant Igor in House of Wax, 1953.
Oh. Huh.
And his last name was Buchinski.
Well, that sounds familiar.
It does sound vaguely familiar. Why does that sound familiar?
It's close to your true last name.
Oh, well.
Similar.
There's something else that's reminding me of, though.
Bukowski. Similar to Bukowski.
Why do I know that name?
Charles Bukowski? Why do I know that name? Welcome to Memory Doesn't Work with Whippin' and Steve.
Yeah. I think Charles Bukowski is an author, but you're looking.
Yeah, he's an American novelist.
But what did I take? My OBS screen keeps moving screens on me.
Don't stop that.
I would like it to. So what did Charles Bukowski do?
Ham on Rye, Woman, Post Office, Factorum. Erections, Ejaculations, Exhibitions. That's a 1972 jam. That's I imagine that's in his experimental era.
None of that is ringing a bell.
Either, yeah. Notes of a Dirty Old Man. Why does that sound familiar?
1920 to 1994.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to say he wrote something classical that. It's just escaping me right now. I've heard a lot of things. Tangent.
There's a whole section of in popular culture at the bottom. I guess he's been mentioned in a number of different films or songs, so maybe that's why I'm familiar with his name.
Probably. I swear he wrote something, some classical piece of literature that's like very popular and well known.
But
War All the Time, maybe? No.
Strange.
Very. Anyway.
Yes. Back to the horror stuff.
Yeah, another horror news. Joe Bob Briggs fans will be pleased to know that he is coming. He is going to be in a found footage werewolf movie called The Fairfield County 4.
Hmm.
It's interesting.
Okay.
He looks to play like the wise old resident who warns the stupid kids that are getting killed off one by one by the werewolf.
That would be a good role for him. You would think he would be well versed in all the things that he would need to warn kids of.
Yeah, listen, movie. I've seen some shit. I know.
I've seen a few of these.
Oh my god, he's the Randy. Never say I'll be right back.
I reached out to, I think her name is Honey, before.
Honey Boo Boo?
No. You know, so he's got his sidekick. I can't think of her name.
Oh, shit.
Well, Honey was his first sidekick. And she's gone on and done other things, but I found her on Instagram and I sent her a message to see if she wanted to join us for the podcast. Apparently she is not very tech savvy. I sent her a message like 2 years ago and she just replied to it. She was like, oh my God, I just figured out how to reply to these. And so it said, you know, okay, do you want to chat here? Do you want to chat via email? And she just liked it. Liked my message. Didn't respond to it.
Instagram is difficult to navigate, man. Sometimes, like, you know, you would think a double tap would mean like open the thing to reply it and reply to it, but no, that just likes it. Like, I understand her boomerness. I don't like Instagram, so it's too confusing.
Are you using it on a desktop or a phone?
A phone.
Well, there's
a desktop option.
Maybe.
I thought it was just an app.
No. There is also a website. I mean, you have to sign into it, but there is.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, no, I don't sign into things ever. No, nope,
I'm sure that you can have it save your settings.
I'm kidding.
Yes.
The whole thing. I am, of course, aware that there is an Instagram option on a desktop. It's their website, really.
Yes. So, but yeah, you're right. Maybe she's using it on her phone. So
probably, yeah.
I will continue seeing if we can get her on.
And Joe. See if we can get Joe Bob Briggs on the show. He's not busy.
Yeah, right.
Actually, he is busy. Yeah. That's what started the conversation. No, that thing, that film does look pretty cool, though. They showed a very quick clip of the werewolf at the end, and it looked very similar to, like, the, was it Bad Moon? Yeah, Bad Moon design, where it's, you know, humanoid on two legs, but very high pointy ears with the kind of grayish coat.
You have frozen. Oh, there you go.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you're back now, but if this goes the way it happened last time, then mine is going to freeze here in a second. That's what happened last time.
It is what happened. Yeah. Yeah, I see it now. I'm still frozen. Looking down at something.
Put you in timeout.
Oh.
Anything new on streaming that you're looking forward to?
Yeah. There's a few things. There's We Bury the Dead. I've been seeing trailers for this a lot. It's Daisy Ridley. Yeah.
Okay.
Ray Palpatine, as some would call her.
Yeah.
Now, the movie looks interesting, though. I thought it was like a worldwide zombie outbreak kind of thing, but no, it's just a military experiment goes horribly wrong on Tasmania, and several people die, like thousands of people die, and there are people that like elect to go in and bring the bodies back, and they're finding out that some of these bodies are coming back to life. So, yeah.
So maybe just leave them there.
Yeah, you know, just leave those ones there, or shoot them in the head, or, you know, run, or chop their heads off. What people do in zombie movies.
Right.
Misophonia warning. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always a distinctive characteristic with each zombie movie. You have,
You mean misophonia warning in the movie, for the movie?
Yeah.
I thought you were about to like start making some mouth noises. I'm like,
God, no.
Where are you going with this?
No, the film. The zombies seem to like grind their teeth a lot, and they always make these creaking, bone cracking noises whenever they're approaching people, but definitely like a lot of teeth grinding noises. So they're,
so I mean, I'm cool with that. Warning is what they're saying.
Yeah, I guess I'm giving you a warning that, you know, anybody with severe misophonia, it looks like a cool flick, but there's a lot of teeth grinding and bone cracking noises.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's cool. What else besides that?
It's not plot armor. I'm sure there's a different word for it, but it's like a feature that has to be there for the plot to work later on in the film. Like there's got to be a reason why they make a noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine there is. Well, I mean, so the protagonist can hear them coming, but
right. But I'm saying that becomes relevant later.
I think it's probably just a gimmick to make them creepier. Scarier. Like you have the clickers with the Last of Us. You have what was it, World War Z? I think they chattered their jaw. Like, I don't talk about World War Z.
So it's like the Minecraft.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Minecraft movie.
I wasn't going about the movie. I was talking about the game. But yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like the creepers that creep up on you and they make the little noise. I mean, I've never played Minecraft. That's a child's game. I'm a grown ass man. I played fucking League of Legends.
We were talking about something a second ago. I forget what we were talking about.
Sandwiches.
No, but I am smelling the stew that I've got cooking in the kitchen, and is making me hungry. So I'll be looking forward to getting off of here and go having dinner.
Oh, you know what you should do with that stuff? Is you should take the stew meat and put it in tacos, and then deep fry those tacos, and then dip them in the stew sauce. I'm on such a birria taco kick recently because they are just the fucking best thing ever.
It sounds good, but it also sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, true. I've only had the experience of purchasing burrito tacos from places and not making them. It does sound like a lot of work.
Well, let me rephrase that. Not so much a lot of work, but a lot of mess in my kitchen. Like, because I've worked in restaurants before, and that's one of the things I like about working in a restaurant is that not only do you not mind getting things dirty in a restaurant because it's easier, basically it's easier to clean up, and you clean up every single night before you go home. Not that you shouldn't be cleaning in your home kitchen, but usually the design of an industrial kitchen makes it easier to clean. You've got movable tables, you've got, you know, not sharp edges, but like there's nooks and crannies in a normal kit, like a home kitchen, that just you can't get it as clean as an industrial kitchen without doing a lot more work.
Yeah. There's also Instapot.
There is
that. Always hit my chat.
Yeah.
Do it.
Anything else you wanted to chat about?
Tacos.
Now you're stuck in the cooking mode.
No. There were a couple of other good movies. Yeah, okay, this one I've seen.
Black Rice? I've never even heard of that.
It is good.
Hmm.
You just put some licorice in the rice.
Oh, hell no.
No, I'm kidding. That's fuck not
that. Straight into the trash.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you could put food coloring in it.
You could.
Hmm. I wonder how much food coloring you need to put in.
Okay, purple, so it's more like really, really dark jasmine rice or something.
Well, I mean, so food coloring for purple, you would put blue and red, but all you'd need to do, I think, is put in a third color and you could turn it truly black. So it might have an option with that.
That's only if you want, like, you know, evil rice.
I mean, who doesn't want...
There's a horror movie. Evil rice. You eat the rice, and then it kills you from the inside, expanding your belly. Just blah. Like pigeons.
With, what's the... not antacid, Alka-Seltzer.
Oh, yeah. Did that actually work? I think it did, but it didn't like explode them like grenades or something.
Right, I think it just makes them foam up at the mouth.
Yeah. Never did it, for the record. I never did that.
Nor I. If only I've never. Although having lived in Florida in tourist areas, I have wanted to.
Yes. Seagulls are rather annoying.
I mean, they're not bad if you live in the area and you know what you're doing, but as a tourist, if you don't know what you're doing, it's, yeah. I remember being in Busch Gardens once, and there's that beer garden in the center where you can also get like pizza and stuff, and food.
Oh, yeah. They used to have that.
Yeah. I remember sitting there and somebody had come out of there with a whole tray full of slices of pizza, and the birds just dive bombed them and they just dropped the tray straight on the ground. And birds took off with everything.
There are montages of seagulls thieving people's food, and yeah. It is glorious. They're very skilled at stealing food. Like, I've seen a seagull steal an entire sandwich in one dip, just gone. Or they'll come back for the double dip. Like, if you have, like, you know, two items of food, just new.
Yeah. Well, again, if you're a tourist and you don't know to look out for these things, it's very easy to be had by that.
We should just rename them drop birds, like how Australia has drop bears, which are a totally real thing, Internet. I am telling you with the utmost earnesty that drop bears are a thing in Australia, and to avoid them, you put forks in your hair and also honey in your hair. They do not like the honey, so you want to put as much of it in your hair as possible, and also tape forks to the top of your head so that they drop them. Then you.
So what would we do?
Yeah, for seagulls, what would be our drop bear with seagulls?
No, I mean, we don't have any hair to put forks in.
Oh, shit. Tape. I'm just taking forks from my head.
Oh, actually, I've got a visor that, you know, doesn't have the, it's like a baseball cap, but doesn't have the top on it. Just take the visor and then stick them in the.
Squid ink, eh?
For the, I should think she was talking about the rice.
Yeah, for the black rice. That's,
did I say rices?
Yes. That is the plural of rice.
Yeah.
Rices.
Haven't even been drinking.
Nope.
Well, what time we got?
It's about 8 o'clock, yeah.
Yep. Well, is there anything else you want to chat about, or should we hop off of here and go have some dinner and get ready for our drawing party?
I think I'm going to order me some Chinese food, as is tradition on Sunday evenings, and then get ready for the drawing party. Yep. Anybody out there viewing, the drawing party is on our Discord server. It is at 9 p.m. Eastern, and you can watch me draw the latest installment in my webcomic, Lexa. It's about a girl who gets kidnapped. Watch,
we also hang out and chat and BS and razz him, yeah, and heckle him and throw food, mm-hmm, at him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do I have the ability to kick members from the server? Like
you probably do because you're administrator, but not me.
Damn it.
I did that on purpose because I am less evil than you.
You're wrong.
All right, cool. Well, I guess we'll close out here and go have some dinner and then join us on Discord.
Yep.
All right.
See you over on the Discords.
See you.